Good to see you in the house of the Lord here in person and also online. And another beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with. His mercies remain new even today. How many of you have locks on the doors that go into your house? Or if you have a fenced-in yard with a gate, have a lock on your gate? We won't ask how many of you actually lock such, but some of us keep such locked pretty much all the time, especially when we're not home. Do we secure our heart, our faith as much or even more so than we do ourselves and our house and our yard? I mean, people are out there trying to take what we have by all possible means. What can we do to keep that from happening, especially spiritually, is our focus today. God be praised, He has given us a way. We focus on that. I invite your attention now to page 3 of the worship bulletin. My soul finds rest in God alone.
My salvation comes from Him.
He alone is my rock and my salvation. We worship today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I invite you to please stand. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him.
He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken.
My salvation and my honor depend on God.
He is my mighty rock, my refuge.
Trust in Him at all times, O people. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God for his amazing grace.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, you are the good shepherd who laid down your life for the sheep. Lead us now to the still waters of your life-giving word, that we may abide in your Father's house forevermore. On this Sunday of Easter, a reading from Holy Scripture from the book of Acts, the second chapter. This is what believers are to do: worship together often and encourage one another through various means. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The word of the Lord. We at times may think that we are owed something. Rather, it is we who owe Jesus the encouragement to follow him. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Peter 2. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus is the truth with an impact. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we now turn to our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance, and this is possible thanks to God our Father, and through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. We turn back to the gospel reading for today. These words from John 10. Jesus said, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives, and because he lives, we too know we will live. Let's say the Sacramento Kings can do it. They can win multiple playoff games and even win the NBA championship. I'm for it. Why not? Now, if they do, what changes day to day for you? Or for anyone else not associated with the Kings? For the immediate time being, those who are associated with the Kings, they may end up with some more green in their pocket, unless there's a hole in their pocket. A Kings championship has a temporary value. And for a limited amount of the world population. There is another championship, however, that does impact the entire world population. In fact, the population of all time. It is the reality of this championship that our attention is drawn to today, and really for our entire life. It is the reality of Jesus. And living in his reality that matters. Now, what is his reality? It is the reality, the truth that we need. He has truth. In fact, he is truth. He has not just any truth. First of all, he has the truth we need when it comes to sin, our sin in particular. I mean, where there are expectations that we are to follow. I mean, our sinful nature fights these expectations, whether they're from God or from the government or from our parents or our workplace. There have to be expectations. And yet we fight those expectations. And how often we break or don't meet those expectations. Especially the expectations of God, which sets the bar and sets the tone. We are reminded through the Apostle Paul by inspiration in Romans how far we fall short of the glory of the expectations of God. We are to keep him first and foremost at all times. Fear, love, and trust in him above all things. Well, how are you doing at that? You and I have to admit we fail miserably at keeping God at center place in our lives every moment of every day, in our thoughts and in our words, in our actions. And that's just one example. But all the expectations hinge on that number one. Through the prophet Isaiah, we're reminded that even the best of our works are still tainted. They're like filthy rags. Jesus speaks the truth about our sin for a reason. To point us to another important truth that he has for us and wants us to hear. It's the truth about forgiveness, the forgiveness that he has to offer, which can become our forgiveness. What has he done with all our failed attempts at meeting the expectations, especially of God? Well, he took on human flesh as we do. He went under the curse of the law as we are under the curse of the law. And he met the expectations like we cannot meet. And there was a reason for that. Because only a perfect sacrifice could be offered in order to atone for the sins, not just of us, but for the entire world. And so he proved himself to be the sacrifice necessary, the perfect sacrifice. And so he did sacrifice himself on the cross. Again, not for his sin. He had no sin, but for our sin. In our thoughts and in our words and in our actions. "It is finished," he cried. "Sin has been paid for." And now that he is back in heaven, he continues to intercede for us. He doesn't need to die on the cross again and again. It's one and done. But that death lasts forever. The impact of it. That's truth. That's truth. That's reality that we need. And only Jesus has such truth. Such reality. The reality about sin and the reality about forgiveness. And he gives us that forgiveness through his means of grace. Another very important reality, the gospel in the word itself and in the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Through these means, he connects us to himself and to his forgiveness, and he keeps us connected to him and that forgiveness. And where there's no forgiveness, there's that desire to live the expectations of God. And even though we fail miserably day after day, he lifts us up again day after day and puts us in a position to follow those expectations yet again. Knowing we will fail, but what is it that keeps us lifted up? Not us, but Jesus. Not our efforts, but his efforts. There is no other means to come into a relationship with him. Jesus has said very clearly in the Gospel of John, "I am the way and the truth and the life." But how many people claim to be the way, the truth, and the life, who claim to come in by another door or gate or climb over the wall and fill our minds and our hearts with lies? Not ways to bring us closer to Jesus, but actually end up bringing us further away from Jesus. We've said it before, coexist cannot happen, especially when you look at the symbols on that bumper sticker. They're not united. There's only one truth, one reality. And God has given it to us in his Bible. Not to be interpreted our own way, but his way. There is only one way to interpret the Bible. And if we come across something that we don't understand, it's not for us to try to fill in the gap with our own way of thinking, but rather to let the Holy Spirit fill us up with that word of truth and enlighten us through that word of truth. And maybe we'll reach heaven never having that enlightenment come upon us. But that's okay. Because you still have the victory in hand. And so Jesus calls us to follow him, not just now, but all the way to heaven. He's not just concerned about you for today. He's concerned about you for every day, all the way into eternity. And so he encourages us then to stay connected to him by all means possible. The believers in the New Testament church, and it was getting off the ground, recognized the importance of staying connected by all possible means. We heard about that. They got together regularly. They knew they needed each other, and they needed to grow up in the truths of the Savior and his reality, which was their reality and the reality of life. Because they were dealing not only with their sin, but also the sin of the world, the sin of the world that was persecuting them. And together they could encourage one another in the reality of, yes, we are forgiven, and we're willing to stand up to the persecution and hold on to what Jesus has won for us rather than cave and lose what he has won for us. And so they gather together often to encourage one another, to build up one another, as we are encouraged in Hebrews to do. Let us not give up meeting together, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. We see what happens when we don't get together. How many people who are not gathering together are taking the time, making it a priority to be in the Word themselves? How many of us start out with good intentions of having a Bible study plan? We're going to read this religious book that's going to help us grow in our relationship with Jesus. And after five pages, we fall asleep and that book gets lost. Or that plan gets forgotten. Why is it we have more interest in reading the how-to books of the world, but not the how-to book that God has given to us for this life and the next? If that's not the priority, something needs to change. Because we need to hear the voice of Jesus. We need it. And we need to recognize His voice. Because again, there are many voices trying to fill our hearts and our minds with all sorts of ideas and rationales. Nothing new, right? Peter talked about that. People come and go and all their ideas come and go, but what endures? The word of the Lord. So God, help us continually recognize His voice, the voice which endures. And as we recognize His voice, then we will be able to recognize the voices that are only out to mislead us and not build us up and connect us. Following Jesus is a way of life. It's not like, you know, we put on clothes and then take it off at the end of the day and then we'll put Jesus back on. I mean, He's clotheth with His robe of righteousness, but it's not supposed to come off. It's not just a religion, it's a way of life. There's no time off for good behavior. 24/7. That's the reality, dear friends, we need to exercise. That's living the reality of Jesus. He has given us the reality of a hope, a hope that is rooted in the victory that He has won for us and secured by His rising from the tomb. He says, I want you to have life and have it to the full. Life now and life for all eternity. And He fills our life with so many good things. Even challenges He fills our life with. But with those challenges, right? They can serve good. To keep us connected to Him. To help us grow up in Him. In a sense, no pain, no gain. Not that He takes pleasure in giving us pain, but He can use that pain for our gain with Him. And as we grow up in Him, we are in a better position to be His witnesses for Him. He has given us this hope. And as we've discussed before, do we live like we have this hope? Do we carry ourselves like we have this victory in hand already? Again, that doesn't mean we're skipping through life. But do we at least realize that the glass is always at least half full? Thanks to Jesus and the victory He has won for us and gives to us by the work of the Spirit through the means of grace. People are watching us. What are we telling them? We're not happy about a certain diagnosis. But yet in Christ, the victory is still won. We're not happy when loved ones pass away. But that doesn't change the victory that Jesus has won for us. And we pray that they too have had that victory. And so we can rejoice for them because they have what we're looking forward to. They have life to the full. What an opportunity to witness. To witness our loyalty to Jesus. And not just go with the latest winds of the world. God, help us exercise that reality of living in Jesus. And as we do, we can expect flack along the way. Peter talked about that, as we heard earlier. Not everybody understands who Jesus is and why we follow Jesus. And they will ridicule us and mock us. That's nothing new. Jesus himself was ridiculed and mocked and persecuted. He is aware of what we go through. And so we are encouraged to not retaliate insult for insult, but rather to heap burning coals of fire, to rise above and to follow the example of our Savior Jesus. While not apologizing for holding on to the truth, we as Christians do not need to take a back seat for what we believe by the grace of God. For we, by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit working in us, know we are on the right track. The Bible tells us so. We know the truths about sin, and if sin is ignored, the consequences of it, we see it happening every day. And we know the truth about forgiveness and the power of forgiveness in our own life and how it can be powerful in the lives of others. So again, no apologies for holding on to the reality of living in Jesus and his truth. And as we do so, realize living in his truth comes with expectations. Recognizing his voice and putting his voice into practice. Luke 11, right? Blessed are they who not only hear the word of God, but obey it, who put it into practice. We know what he expects of us. Do it. When it comes to being a human being full of kindness and compassion, putting the best construction on situations, when it comes to our role as husbands and wives and fathers and mothers, as leaders in the church and outside the church, being active in the community. Again, the expectations are clearly laid out for us, summed up in the Ten Commandments, and even a simple summary in that, love God and your neighbor. And to even make it even simpler, love. It's not complicated. That's the reality of Jesus, of living in him. To follow him, not dictate, Lord, I'll follow you if you do this for me, and if you don't do this for me, well, then I'm done with you. No, he's leading the way, and we follow. Not straying, because again, as long as we are in that sheep pen, we are protected. If we jump over the fence, well, we're fair game. But Jesus says, I don't want you to jump over the fence. I want to keep you safe. He knows, though, sadly, people will jump regardless. God help us bring them back while there's still time. And so we do agree with the new world mantra. We need change. Yeah, we do. Change from going further away from God and rather back to God. For Jesus and living Jesus is the reality we need, despite what the world may think. Their reality leads nowhere. The reality that we have through Jesus gives this life purpose and a future with no hidden fees. This is the championship with lasting and worldwide impact. And so continue to feed it. And continue to exercise it, for it, Jesus, and his reality is what we need and what we have. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join together in a confession of faith. It begins on the bottom of page 9.
We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten and not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended.
Please be seated.
We pray. Dear Father in heaven, with your gift of a Savior, you restored hope for our fallen world and brought glory to your name. We thank you for the good news that you have reconciled the world to yourself through your Son.
Be with us as you give us opportunities to proclaim your glorious name of salvation in Jesus Christ our Savior.
Well, Jesus, Lamb
of God, we praise you for offering yourself as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all. On the cross, you declared the sacrifice for sins completed. At the open tomb, you assured the world that sinners are reconciled to God.
Yes, as you have promised, so that we may be bold and confident witnesses to our family members and friends.
Holy Spirit, blessed Counselor, use your word of truth and power to break down the barriers to our witness, including fallen mankind's natural hatred for God and Satan's wicked work among us.
Empower us by your gospel and encourage us to be faithful, fervent witnesses to the people among whom we live and work.
O Father, whence all blessings come, O Son, dispenser of God's store, O Spirit, bearer offerings home, Lord, make them yours forevermore. For those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, thank you, Lord. You have watched over them through life to this point, and we trust you will continue to have them be a blessing to us and we to them. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, thank you for this opportunity in their life, and continue to watch over them, helping them see the blessings in their life together. Thank you, Lord, for granting Janet Heyer a successful medical procedure this past week. Continue to bless her recovery. We ask that you would grant Jim Olsom a successful hip replacement procedure, which is coming up soon. Also be with David Scaltetti and Cheryl as he goes through stress tests. May the tests reveal answers they are looking for, and may you provide, as you will, healing for what is discovered. Hear us, Lord, now as we bring you our private petitions. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, send us by the power of your word into the mission fields beyond the walls of our church. Give us hearing ears and seeing eyes that seize the opportunities you set before us to be your witnesses.
Christ, strengthen us and bless us as we declare Christ to our world. Amen.
And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we turn now to the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you all.
our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed
pray. Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. To God be the glory forever and ever.
Thank you.
Great to see you again in the house of the Lord. And if you haven't filled out the blue connection cards, please take the time to do so, and especially our guests. We'd ask you to fill those out, and you can return those on the boxes on the wall as you enter into the sanctuary by those two side doors, or there's a basket there in the lobby with a table that says place connection cards here. Please take the time to meet and greet one another, especially someone you haven't seen before, or if you've seen them and you forgot their name, like I've always said. Hopefully, if you met them before and they gave you a name, they give you the same name, or just give them a name that you can remember. And that's their new church name then. Bible study today taking place here at 9:30 in the church proper. The topic today, a one-time topic, raising godly children. We welcome Mr. David Bartelt as a guest presenter on this topic. He'll talk more about himself in a moment, introduce himself. We welcome Mr. Bartelt and his wife Jill. They are have served God's church faithfully through the years, and we're glad they're here. Next week, confirmation at the late service. We have three confirmands. God be praised. And so at the late service, keep that in mind, examination and confirmation. Whatever questions they do not get, you get. So be ready for that. And the old SAC tour, the underground tour we talked about, saving the date, Saturday, May 13th. Details are in the weekly news and how to sign up. You have to sign up yourself. Again, sign up for the 2:30 tour if you can. If not, take the 2 o'clock tour and then wait for us to be done with the 2:30 tour. And then if you want, we'll still hang out together in old SAC or somewhere nearby. So more details in the weekly news regarding that. Just have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.